Coffee in Space is a podcast by S. Daniel Smith that puts the best in established and up-and-coming science fiction and fantasy writers in front of you, their readers. Dan's goal is to help you learn more about who they are as people, how they write, and how they live. Whether you're listening to this podcast at home, or in your car, or somewhere in between, Dan hopes to transport you to the crew lounge on an intergalactic spaceship, where you can have a cup of your favorite coffee with science fiction and fantasy authors. So sit back, listen in, and enjoy the show.
Hey everyone, it's your host Dan Smith. You probably just listened to Jeffrey Craner talk about his novel, You Feel It Just Below the Ribs, which he co-wrote with Janina Mathewson. Jeffrey was such a good sport during the interview that he let me ask a few more questions specifically about podcasting, a subject obviously very near and dear to my heart. We'll pick up on that part of the interview here in another installment of 10 More Minutes. Here then is 10 More Minutes with Jeffrey Craner. Jeffrey, welcome to the show. Thanks for having coffee in space with us today.
Absolutely. Thank you, Dan.
I can't have a prolific podcaster on the show without asking a few questions about your shows.
Yeah.
What got you started with Night Vale? How did it expand to other podcasts? Just kind of talk to me about the podcasting.
Well, when we started Night Vale, we started the idea for it in 2011. Joseph Fink, my co-writer for that show, and I had been doing theater in New York City. So we were doing some like really off Broadway, way downtown New York theater. And it was a ton of fun. We enjoyed writing together. We have a very similar kind of aesthetic and things that we enjoy. And we had a great time making a theater piece together that we co-wrote and performed together at St. Mark's Church in the East Village. But the thing about theater is it crazy expensive. It's really expensive to do. And we had maybe 120 people see it over the course of a 2-week run. And that was, it was great. We had a good time, but we had also found that Joseph and I found we both loved podcasts. And we thought, what if we did a podcast next? Because I bet we could still tell cool stories and it might be a little cheaper because we should probably take some time off of spending a lot of money. And we had been listening to a ton of podcasts, but we couldn't find any that were like long form fiction stories. And so we decided to start making Night Vale. It was just a series of short, weird paragraphs Joseph had written down to start with. He had Cecil, our narrator, who is the voice of Night Vale 90% of the episodes. And yeah, he had Cecil record it and put it together and then sent it to me. And I was like, this sounds fun. Let's do that. Sure. And that was basically kind of how it got started. And it took about a year for it to really, really take off in a really big way, enough to where we started touring it to other cities, live shows on stages. And then we wrote a novel after our first year working on it. So we started in late 2013 writing our first Welcome to Night Vale novel. And at that point, we just had a bunch of other ideas for shows that we wanted to do. And I had this idea for this show Within the Wires, just based off of one little kernel, which was what if relaxation cassettes, but the person narrating them was telling you a deeper story than just how to relax. And I met Janina, who is another writer I really enjoyed, and she kind of helped me put together this first season, and we co-wrote the whole thing, and we've been doing it ever since.
So first of all, the concept, I'm fascinated by it in general. It reminds me, as a kid, I would listen to, you know, either like the local public radio at night. I grew up in a small town in Kansas, and so it wasn't even my town that had the radio station. We were too small. So I'd listen to, you know, local AM radio, or maybe I'd get a Kansas City station if it was a good night and the Royals game would end. And then you just get this random dude talking into the radio and giving you updates and stuff. And so it really harkens back to my childhood. So I found that very fascinating, your original concept. At what point did you and Joseph go, this is going to be big. People really like this. Like when did that happen?
I mean, over the course of the first year, we kept slowly getting more and more listeners, and we would see people talking about it on Twitter and things like that. And it was right around the 1-year anniversary of the show that it just had this like huge blow up that was unignorable. Like we went from like in the top 200 on back when the Apple iTunes podcast charts sort of made some sense, and there's fewer podcasts back then, I guess, and we went from like top 200 like within a couple weeks to top 50. And then a couple weeks after that, we were top five. And then we were number one on the charts for like four straight months or something crazy. It just had this, I don't want to be like all Malcolm Gladwell about it, but there was like a tipping point that happened, I think, through fans on Tumblr primarily, which is where most of the conversation around it was happening, which is a social media platform I still don't know that much about and didn't know anything about at the time either back in 2013. But yeah, it was weird because it's an independent operation. So there's no one there to say, here are your ratings. Here's how you're doing with the Nielsen rating system or whatever. There's not like money pouring in, you know, in this like, you're not getting royalties for downloads, right? Like you're getting more donors or people buying t-shirts, which is, so there is obviously income coming in. But it's just you realize like, oh, my life is about to change because I'm going to have to like put more time into this. So I had to, we realized like, let's do live touring shows. I think this is what we should be doing, which meant I had to quit my full-time job, leave benefits, do all of that under the hope that podcasting would be a sustainable source of income. So it was scary and interesting and fun because it was just, didn't know what to do with that. It wasn't like a classic model of, my book was, you know, it's not like a, you submitted a manuscript to a publisher and they said, yes, here's a book deal. It wasn't like you got a TV pilot picked up. It was suddenly a thing was very popular that you were making for free. And you have to figure out how to make a business out of that.
And so follow up question to that then is, do you find it easy to teach people how to replicate that sort of success, or has so much changed in podcasting already in the 4 or 5 years since you realized that, to where things that you knew how to do back when you were in your first 2 or 3 years may not even apply anymore? Do people reach out to you still? Are you the mentors now? How's that working for you?
I mean, yeah, when we have a chance to talk to people about it, we do. And, you know, sometimes I get emailed questions that I think are interesting and different that, you know, that I'll try and respond to. But I do think it's such a different landscape. I feel weird about giving advice on how to have success because I don't think I know how to have success. You know, I had success doing this, and that success in a lot of ways maintains itself. I help maintain it too. I do other things to try and keep that going, you know, returning emails and continuing to make stuff. But I don't know if I knew how to have success, I think I would have had it earlier in my life, I think is the thing. And there's a lot of skill involved. You have to be a good writer, I think, in most cases to be make a living as a writer. But also there's a lot of great artists I know in this world that aren't making full-time income from their art. And I don't know how you rectify that. I think it's such a hard thing to tell people how to do. You can only give them the ways in which you think would be helpful for them, but there's nothing is guaranteed. You know, I never want to make somebody feel like, oh, I did all the things Jeffrey told me to do and my thing still isn't popular. I must be bad at this. I'm like, that's probably not it. It's probably, there's so much luck that goes into it.
Yeah, luck and timing and mm-hmm. all of those sorts of things. I appreciate that answer because it seems like both with writing and with podcasting, it was true with blogging when blogging was a big format. You know, just as soon as someone seems to get success, they want to, you know, try and capitalize on that, as it were, capital being the primary motivating word there. But yeah, I appreciate someone who just simply says that, or takes it with a bit of humility, I guess, is what I'd say. It's that humility that made me enjoy my interview with Jeffrey Craner, and why I'm so grateful to have gotten a few extra minutes with him. Please, please, please take a look at his podcast at welcometonightvale.com and his Twitter feed at happierman. I'll see you next episode as I talk to Shuiting Christine Nee.